We just thank you, Father, Holy Father, for sending Christ. We can lay hold of Christ and we can look at him. And we're so grateful for that, that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear. You've given us a heart of flesh so that we can see God. We can see him clearly. And we just thank you so much for that. We thank you for the promise in Scripture that every single time that we look to the Lord, whether we pray or meditate or read the Word of God, that we are changed. We can see God, we can turn to him, and we can be transformed. So we just rejoice in that fact this morning. We rejoice that that's true, that the Word of God is always fruitful. So we just pray that it's fruitful in us this morning. And that word of God would be like anointing oil on everybody's head here, that it would pour down on the crown of each of our heads like an oil of gladness, that it would be fruitful in us this morning. And so we just do dedicate our service to you, as we do every Sunday, and we ask that it would be life-changing, that each of us would walk away with a brighter view of God, with more love for you in our hearts. And so we just ask you, bless us now. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to continue this morning with a series on the glory of Christ. I've given two messages on this subject in the last few months, and I'd like to give two more. In fact, you might hear me give many more on this subject, but you will hear one this week and one next week. And these messages are all related. They are all about the resurrection. And the New Testament is full of this phrase. The phrase is the glory of Christ or the glory of the Lord. And in every instance, that phrase is speaking about the resurrection. So you'll hear me say that often this morning, the glory of the Lord. So certainly we want to preach Christ crucified this morning and Christ resurrected. But more than simply talking about the resurrection itself, I want to share about the benefits afforded to you, to all of you Christians, because of the resurrection. So the glory of Christ was given in resurrection, and it is a glory that he is sharing with the church. He wants to give you his glory. As I've said before, perhaps you can picture, pardon me, picture a diamond. If the resurrection of Christ were a diamond, then every facet, every different cut of that diamond is a separate blessing. And this resurrection diamond has many different facets. And so God is giving you the jewel of the death of his son. And that jewel is many-sided. And furthermore, God wants this jewel with all of its richness and all of its variety to be yours. So I want you to know what it is that you are coming into possession of. And so to describe the benefits of the resurrection is to describe your identity in Christ. It's to describe your Christian life. So this morning, I want to share another facet of blessing about the resurrection, and that is transformation. It's what we'll talk about this morning. Christ's resurrection transforms believers. So my primary point this morning is that you are united by faith to a resurrected Christ who shares everything with you. He doesn't hold anything back from you, and he shares his transformation. So this morning, I want to share what I think is a rather astonishing promise in Scripture. It's the idea that if you are a Christian, God is conforming you to the image of Christ, and he's willing to do so. He does do so every single time that you turn to him, every time you see his glory, every time you look to the Lord, every time you read Scripture or pray or meditate on the goodness of God, you are changed. God's word is always fruitful in you. Another way to say that is if you share with Christ, you share in glory, and you share in a building up of glory that results in you being transformed into the same image that Christ had when he was resurrected. This transformation in you, it is complete. This glory is fully built up at the return of Christ, and that is the day where you get to see his glory directly, fully, and not only see it for what it is, you get to reflect it back to him. Imagine that day. And so I'd like to dive deep into a certain text this morning. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you, you can get it out. We're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and you can just put a finger in it. We'll refer to it at length. But we have a text this morning. It is just one verse, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And it says this. It says, "So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him," like Jesus, "as we are changed into his glorious image." Now, this verse is the climax of this chapter. And it presents a truth that is so exciting. I think many of us have missed it. I'm afraid that we don't see what is being promised here. It's saying that you and I can share the image of Jesus Christ. We can go from a lesser glory to a greater glory through the ministry of the Spirit of God in us. And we can undergo this change every time we turn to the Lord. So, Christian, I want you to see this morning. I want to show you this morning. If you are united to Christ and his resurrection life, well, then you are experiencing resurrection on a spiritually unseen level right now. You are already the beginnings of a resurrection being, and eventually you will transform. You will transform so completely that you will bear the same image as Jesus Christ in heaven right now. You're turning into that. So number one, the glory of the new covenant far surpasses the glory of the old one. This morning, I'd like to outline some of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for you. We're discussing the goal of transformation, which is the glorification of believers, as in the way in which you transform into that image. We also want to talk about the source of that glorification. Where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. We'll talk about both those things. But before we do that, we need to talk about just how surpassingly great the new covenant ministry of the Spirit is. So in 2 Corinthians 3, if you still got your finger there, Paul is contrasting something. He's contrasting the old and the new covenant ministries. And then he's contrasting the old and the new covenant people. He's doing so primarily through his commentary on a story from the book of Exodus. So perhaps you remember Moses going up the mountain. Matt Huther, he set me up well today. We're going to talk about some of that story. So Moses goes up the mountain and he receives the law and he comes back down to give the law. And when he comes down, perhaps you remember, his face was glowing. And Moses was transformed because he looked at the glory of the Lord. And when he came down, the people saw his face. The Israelites gazed at Moses' face as well. And they saw God's glory indirectly there on his face. But they were not transformed. They were not transformed the way Moses was, or the way that any new covenant believer in Jesus will be. And this is because Moses put a veil over his face. The glory and the transformation within the old covenant, they were severely limited because of that veil. So God's transformation of his people is much different. It is much better under the new covenant. God himself says that the new covenant is nothing like the old one. So I'd like to show you a portion of 2 Corinthians. I'd like to help you understand this idea that the new covenant has so much more glory than the old one. So let's read. I want to read verses 7 through 11. We can talk about them. And they say this, it says, now if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. I'd like to focus for a moment on what it means to remove the veil. How much better the new covenant is now that we as believers, we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear, we have a heart of flesh, we have a circumcised heart, a heart which has had the veil removed from it. So it says that the Israelites, they could not gaze on Moses' face. They could not sustain looking at his face. The book of Exodus says that they were afraid. Moses' face was radiant, and the people were afraid to come to him. They were afraid to come near him. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, he was receiving the law from God. And while he was doing that, the people were actively sinning with the golden calf. And so from the very beginning, their ability to honor this covenant, it was already in jeopardy. When Moses came down and his face was glowing, he put a veil over his face to hide the glory that was there. So not only did these people not want to see his face, they ran from him, but also they were prevented from doing so. He veiled himself. So in other words, the glory was snuffed out by the veil. And this happened over and over again. Moses would remove the veil when he was in the presence of the Lord, and he would put it back when he was in the presence of the people. So the glory of the old covenant was brought to an end. It ultimately came to nothing. Look at verse 8, if you will, for a minute. Paul is asserting that the new covenant ministry will certainly have more glory than the old. And in the new covenant, it's because we can see the glory of God clearly. There is no veil that obstructs your heart or your mind. So our verse this morning again says this, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with open face, if you're a Christian, you have an unveiled face, and you are changing into the same image as the Lord. Christians have open faces. You have no veil. You have boldness and freedom to look and approach the glory of God. You're not kept from doing so in any way. And when we look to Christ, we see his glory, and we are changed. So again, outward, visible glory appeared on Moses' face because Moses saw the glory of God. So the ministry of the Spirit, the new covenant, is far greater because all of us are transformed by seeing Christ, not just Moses. Seeing the glory of Christ in the new covenant makes far more people glorious than just Moses. God is giving us an incredible privilege in Christ of seeing glory and being transformed the way that Moses was. And in fact, he's giving us a transformation that surpasses that of Moses. He's saying our transformation is permanent. It's not transitory. It will not come to an end. Because of this, we get to see something that Moses never saw. One day, we get to see the glory of God in all of its splendor. And we get to see it directly. We get to see it face to face. Perhaps you know Scripture spoke of Moses in this way. He spoke with the Lord face to face, as a man speaks to a friend. But Moses never saw fully what God was. He never saw the full glory of God, because to see that glory in Moses' day, it meant certain death. And for us, here's something ironic. It ultimately means life. A day is coming where you will get to see God face to face in all of his glory. And rather than perish, you will live. In verse 9, it says, if the mission of death came about in glory, the mission of the Spirit will also come about in glory. The old covenant is full of death. In the old covenant, if you worked on the Sabbath, the punishment was death. If you bore false witness, death. Death could result from many things, from a child's disobedience, from murder, from kidnapping, idolatry, false prophecy, on and on. And furthermore, no amount of perfect law-keeping resulted in righteousness. But it says that the mission of the Spirit results in righteousness. Jesus, at his resurrection, maybe you know, he was given perfect righteousness. He was given it in a resurrected, glowing body. He had a perfect body. And the Spirit of righteousness, the Holy Spirit, was at work in Jesus to bring him to life. So righteousness in Jesus, it was proven at his resurrection. When he was glowing and coming out of the tomb, he was proven perfectly righteous. How do we know that? Because if there was any sin in him, he would not have come out of the grave. I hope you recognize that. And so our process, your process, is slower than Jesus's, but it will have a very similar outcome. You are transforming right now into what he was the day of his resurrection. And you are becoming righteous, not just morally righteous alone. You're becoming bright and shining. I hope you realize that. You can grow in righteousness in your life. The Holy Spirit's work in you can increase right up to the point where you are brought glowing into heaven. So I hope you can see the new covenant has a greater and more enduring glory. The new covenant outshone the glory of the old covenant. In fact, you could say it outglorified it. The brightness and permanence of the glory of Christ, it forever did away with the glory of the old covenant. There was glory on Moses' face, and it ended. It stayed on his face alone. But the glory on Christ's face, the glory of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ, this is communicated to anyone who turns to the Lord. If you have an open face, you can have this. So the glory of the ministry of Christ far surpasses the glory of Moses' ministry. It overflows and outshines it, because now the glory will one day be on all of our faces and in all of our bodies. It's an amazing thing. So if you would, imagine a light bulb. Imagine a 60-watt light bulb, the kind that's in any fixture in your house. So certainly it shines brightly. The glory of one light bulb lights up a dark room pretty well. But compared to darkness, yeah, it's quite glorious. But imagine this. Imagine also turning on intense spotlights. Lights with thousands of watts of power and lighting up every corner of that room so that there's no darkness at all. Or, if you would, imagine a candle. Imagine a candle in the middle of the night. And yeah, compared to the middle of the night, that candle glows pretty brightly. But imagine the sun rising and engulfing that candle, the glory of the sun out-glorifying that candle. This is the difference between the old and the new covenants. It's similar to it. So the glory of the Old Testament did fade, and it was not an end in itself. It was designed to lead us to Christ. The law and the glory of the Old Testament, in fact, are fulfilled in Christ. So now, in Christ, it's like the sun is rising, and that sun extinguishes any lesser light. So again, our verse this morning, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, all of us who have had the veil removed, we can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. God's will is that you be led to Christ. God's will is that you have an unveiled face in Christ. And you are free because of that. You're free to see the glory of the Lord and be transformed. And every time you look, that's the promise, you are transformed. You will be. So let's talk for a moment about transformation. Number two, your transformation The change in your Christian life begins with Christ's resurrection and ends at your resurrection. So you have an unveiled face. You can behold and reflect the glory of Christ. You can be transformed. Amazing. So let's talk about the part of this verse that says that believers are changed or transformed into the same glorious image as Christ. Again, here it says, all of us can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. We are changed into his glorious image. I'd like to talk just a little bit more about Moses. So whenever Moses went into the Lord, it says when he turned to the Lord, that's him going into the tent of meeting with God. And he spoke to God and he removed his veil. So Moses would go in and speak with God. Every time he did, his face was transformed in glory. But however, every time he left, maybe you know, that glory began to fade away. So Moses wore that veil that hid the glory for two reasons at least. One was as an act of mercy. It was a way to accommodate the fearful people of Israel. But it also hid the fact that glory was fading away every time he left the tent. Moses' transformation was only partial. And also it says Moses was one of a kind. Let me read for you a few verses. This is Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. It says, there had not arisen in Israel another prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. This only happened to him. There's one other example. There's an example where 70 elders of Israel did see God, and they were not snuffed out. They were changed, but not completely. Exodus 24 says this, they saw, the elders saw the God of Israel, and under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. So if you keep reading Exodus 24, later in the chapter, God says to these people, he said, you cannot see my face and live, for man shall not see my face and live. So Moses, we know, saw God's backside. Moses said, God, show me your glory. So he said, sure, and he showed him part of himself. And these elders, they saw some glory, but they didn't see the complete picture of God. They didn't see God's complete glory. And so this glory was incomplete, and this glory faded. But now Paul says, we all of us are transformed. If you're in Christ, you have an open face, you have an unveiled face, and you can be transformed. We all have the freedom that Moses had to commune with God. And beyond that, God is inside of us. We have this freedom all the time. Every moment, every day, you can see glory. You can experience it, and you can be changed. Not in a transitory way. It says here in our passage this morning, it says this change is permanent. It lasts forever. So this verse right before the one we're studying this morning, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, says this. It says, for the Lord who is the Spirit, the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So in Christ, I hope you know, your heart is liberated from stone to flesh. You have the freedom to be transformed because this veil is removed. And when you look to Jesus, the change in you will never fail. God's word is always fruitful in you. And so your transformation is inevitable. It is going to happen if you look at him. And when you change, it is thorough, it is complete, it will last forever. So this word translated as changed, as in we all who have an unveiled face shall be changed. It appears four times in Scripture. I don't know if you know that. But two of those times are in the gospel accounts of Jesus' transfiguration. So one is found in Matthew and one is found in Mark. And in those gospel accounts, that word is translated not as changed, but as transfigured. This word also appears in Romans 12, 2. That's a verse we've talked a lot about as a church, as in be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The last place it appears in Scripture is in our verse today. And the word is metamorphosis, or a version of that word, metamorphosis. And this word describes a change on the outside, a visible change that anyone can see, but that change comes from the inside. So metamorphosis in nature, it describes the process that changes, for instance, an insect from a larva into a pupa, and then a mature insect, a butterfly. And when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, it never turns back. This change comes from within, and this change is radical and permanent. It lasts forever. So, I'd like to talk for a moment about the metamorphosis of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read to you one of these gospel accounts about his transfiguration. This is Matthew 17, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took along Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became bright as the light, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him." So maybe you know this, the story of Christ's transformation and Moses' transformation have many similarities. In both stories, they have witnesses and disciples on a mountain. And these disciples are hiding their faces when they see the face of their leader, and his face is shining brightly. In both cases, they are in the midst of an overshadowing cloud, and a voice speaks from that cloud, from the glory cloud of God. And those who witness the glory of the shining face, they cower in fear. They're incredibly fearful. And in Jesus' transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are there. It's basically saying, well, here's the law and the prophets testifying to who Jesus is, testifying to this glory. And perhaps you remember Moses and Elijah as well. They each had a mountaintop experience. Moses was on Mount Sinai. Elijah was on Mount Horeb. And now Peter, James, and John, they have their experience on a mountain as well. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses prophesied. He said a prophet would come after him, one who is just like him, and the people should listen to him, which is exactly what the Father says through the cloud as Jesus is transfigured. He says, "Listen to my son." So finally, Peter, even though he didn't quite know what he was doing, he offers three booths, one to be made for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And perhaps what was in Peter's mind, although it could have been something else, but perhaps he was recalling Moses and the tent of meeting. He knew that Moses turned in to the Lord. Now, there's actually many more similarities beyond this. We don't have time for them today, but what is important is this. The partial transformation of Moses, it pointed to the full transformation of Jesus Christ. And what happens to Jesus, what happened to Jesus, awaits you. So this example of his transfiguration, it was a temporary uncovering of his intrinsic glory, and it foreshadows the uncovering, the future uncovering of glory in you. So Christians, do not shine today. We don't shine outwardly the way Moses did, or like Christ did in this story. Our transformation right now is inward. God says, as soon as you are a Christian, you are a new creation, one whose mind is being renewed first in this life, and you'll have a renewed body to follow. But God is saying that you are in the process of being transfigured right now. You are changing currently, right now, today, into the exact same image as Jesus. And you, Christian, you are progressively, little by little, taking on Christ's perfections through the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life. So again, our verse this morning, the Lord, who is the Spirit, I hope you catch that, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So in Christ, God is hiding life and righteousness and many good things behind suffering and the cross. This is happening in you. Transformation is hidden, but make no mistake, it is real. Maybe you've noticed this phrase in our verse. It says, the Lord who is the Spirit. It actually appears twice in Scripture. Similar phrases appear twice in Scripture. It occurs in our verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Lord who is the Spirit. And there's another example when Paul is speaking about the resurrection. This is in 1 Corinthians 15:45. We'll actually talk a little bit about this next week. It says, the Lord became a life-giving Spirit. So what in the world does that mean? People have used these verses historically to find a way to deny the Trinity. I don't know if you know that. So it doesn't mean that two persons of the Trinity are the same person. It doesn't mean the Trinity isn't three, it's actually two. Nothing like that. It doesn't mean that Jesus can put on a mask and be the Holy Spirit all of a sudden. But this is a strange phrase. It means that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is the way in which we are transformed. The transformation brought through resurrection is given through the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, when he resurrected, was resurrected by the Spirit, and the Spirit now rested on him in an incredibly powerful way. The Spirit became his in a new way. It's like he gained new possession of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, it rested on him, and he ascended with it into heaven. And maybe you recall from the book of Acts, he had that Spirit, and then he poured it out on the church in Pentecost. So, the same way that we get physical life through Adam, we get spiritual life through Christ. Christ gives us the Holy Spirit. And Jesus' work in resurrection was so transformational. Now, it's saying he is closely identifying with the work of the Spirit, the Lord who is the Spirit. I hope you pick up the flavor of that. And so to be transformed by that glory and to share in it is to share in the resurrection from the dead. It is to share in the Holy Spirit. It is to share in the life of God, in all of its benefits, all of its blessings. The Spirit that transformed Christ, transfigured him, resurrected him, all of that. It's the Spirit that's now at work in you. It's the Spirit that's transforming you. And one day, it is the Spirit that is going to resurrect you. So, finally, number three, the inward transformation we've been talking about will one day culminate in a body of glory. You will have a new body. And this inner transformation, additionally, will result in an outward reflection. You will not only see glory, by seeing glory, you are changed inwardly. One day this will culminate, and now you will reflect glory. So in our passage today, in 2 Corinthians 3, but really the whole book, Paul was arguing with the Corinthian church. They were in danger of rejecting him. They didn't see that Christ was glorified in Paul. They put him on his heels, and he had to defend his ministry. So the reflection of Christ in Paul was dim to the Corinthian church. They had to squint to see him. They didn't see a final transformation of glory in Paul or in themselves. But a day is coming where we will all see this transformation. And a day is coming where all of us will see the glory of God in exactly the splendor that it is. I just invite you for a moment to imagine that day. You want to close your eyes as I speak? You may, but think about the day in which you see God, where you see the glory of God fully. So imagine that day when we have seen the glory of God in the face of Christ, and now we are transformed into the same image. And on that day, you will see the transformation. This is your whole life culminating in the moment where you see that you share the same image as God with God. It's the moment you realize that your life was turning into Christ. Your whole life was about turning into Christ. And now in your body, you have the same image as him. That is glorious. You can open your eyes if you want. I see some of you did. But the example given in our text is that of a mirror, a glass, something to look in. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we see his glory as in a glass or a mirror. Take a peek at the American Standard Version of this verse. It says, "We all with unveiled face, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." So think about for a moment a reflection in a mirror. So in a mirror, you can be looking pretty much dead on. Maybe you're sort of at an angle, but you could see a reflection that is behind you or maybe beside you. And you're looking what feels like dead on, but you're actually looking at something that's next to you, not in front of you. So in other words, you can see something indirectly. Now, the same idea was there with Moses. Moses saw God's glory as he passed by in front of him, but he only showed Moses his backside. That's the idea here. You cannot see the image of God directly right now. But it says that by beholding glory in a mirror, you're changed into the same image. The indirect becomes direct. So some in Corinth had to squint to see Christ in Paul. And there's times people have to squint to see Christ in us, right? But Paul says in the same letter, "Treasure is found in jars of clay. Your outer man is wasting away, but the inner man is being renewed daily. There is something in you that's precious, and it's hard to see behind the clay, but it's true. There's glory in all of us. And the day is coming where you will get to see all the glory. You will get to see the image of God directly, not dimly, not at an angle. You will see the indirect image and the direct one align. The image beside you or behind you will move to become the image directly in front of you." That's amazing. So here's the promise. Again, every time you look on the glory of the Lord, you are changed. God can become more real to you every single day. Every time that you turn to him, every time that you look at Jesus, the indirect image of God can become more clear, more direct, more real. You behold it more directly, and then, amazingly, you reflect it more directly. And so to look to him in scripture, in prayer, in time with him, is to be changed. I'll just tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, there is no better argument that I know of for reading your Bible, for spending time with God. If we knew what it actually did, we'd never skip it again. We'd never ignore it again. It's always fruitful. It's always producing glory. So the day is coming again where you will stand face to face with God and you will be the mirror. You're not looking in a mirror anymore. You are the mirror. Imagine that. Imagine Jesus on his throne in heaven, sharing a throne with the Father. They're sitting side by side. And imagine standing before the triune God in all of his glory and then reflecting that glory back to him. Heaven is going to be filled with glory. Heaven is going to be incredibly bright. And God is preparing a body for you that can behold this glory and reflect this glory. Another way to speak about all of this, and actually this is a little teaser for next week. Another way to speak about transformation is to speak about the regaining of the image of God. To fully see the glory of God is to see God for who he is. It's to see his image. And so Adam lost the image of God when he sinned. Humanity lost it. And now in Christ, thankfully, praise God, we are regaining it. And we have already regained it. And the reality of this victory, it's playing out in time, in history, in the lives of Christians. This is coming true in you, in all of us, every day, right now. So God said, "Let light shine out of darkness. Let the light of the gospel shine in the human heart as a new creation." And we were given a new heart. You're given a new spirit. You're given a heart of stone. That heart of stone is done away with. And now the spirit of your mind has been renewed. You're able to come as much as you'd like and gaze on glory and be transformed. And to see the image of God restored in us when before in Adam it was stained and tarnished. We don't deserve anything that good. Here we are. We're pulling down our own house with our own hands. And God says, "No problem. Let me build you a temple without hands," right? So let me remind you again, saints, God wants you to look to him. He wants you to turn to him every moment of every day for any need. Because he does want to glorify you. Yes, certainly he wants to be glorified. He wants you to see his glory. But Romans 8:29, perhaps you know this verse well. It says, God predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son. Those he foreknew, he will glorify. God intends you be glorified the way Christ was. And this outcome awaits anyone who turns to the Lord, anyone who looks on his glory and sustains that gaze. God wants to transform you completely. So I'm just begging you today, let him. Yield to him. Come to him. If you don't know the God who wants to transform and glorify his children, if you don't know the God who would give you a new heart of flesh and take away the hardness of heart that you do have, today is the day to give him your whole life. If you know the glory of your own life, and you know for sure it is fading away, that your best attempts to be transformed into some new person are resulting in nothing, turn to him. Turn to the Lord. You can look at him and live. Today is the day to turn to God and find freedom from corruption and bondage, to find freedom to cling to all the promises of God, to see his blessing and protection, to be free from the glory of the world, the flesh, and the devil that is fading away. You can exchange it for a glory that will last forever. So please look to Christ and be transformed from the inside out. If that's you this morning, I don't presume to imagine every single person in here is a Christian. They don't know where they're at, in some cases, with Christ. But we're begging you, join us. Become part of the family of God. We want to talk to you today if that's you. So let's end. What we've uncovered today is just one more facet of this diamond, this jewel given in the resurrection of Jesus. And if I could, I would talk to you about this for years to come, because this is a very dense, very deep subject. So we've spoken about just one of these promises, one facet. But Scripture's full of them. And because of the freedom that you have in Christ, because the veil is taken away, you can lay claim to not just one of them, but all of them. They're yours. You can trust in the promise today that we've spoken of, that God wants to transform you from the inside out. I just want you to know, you're a welcome guest at a table of these promises. Scripture is a never-failing treasury. It is filled with endless stores of grace. Heaven has a bank account full of blessings. You can draw from it. You can draw from a never-ending account without hindrance, without permission. You can do it as much as you would like. I just want to remind you, I know that there are people in this room that do feel stuck, that don't feel like they can transform. And I just want you to know that no matter how much you feel like you can't move, Christ is offering transformation. We become like what we worship. If you look to Christ, you will become like him. If you turn to idols, you will become like your idols. So again, look to him. Come in faith, and you're welcome to every covenant blessing, including this one, the one that says to turn to the Lord and to look on his glory is to be changed forever. So I hope that promise is so wonderful to you that it does help you turn to him for every need that you have in life. As much as you need, you can have, you can drink, you can come to him and have what you need. He's there to transform your clay into treasure and your suffering into glory. So go ahead, you can turn to the person next to you. You can talk about what was meaningful to you about today's message. And we'll see the band appear in just a moment.